Thank you, Steve and Debbie. That was a blessing. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 this morning. I spoke on when God gave man the law and talked about that. And obviously the law, the Bible says, the law is our schoolmaster. It brings us to Christ. And the law shows us that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. The law shows us that we are sinners, and we find that out only because of God's book, the Word of God, and the thou shalt's and thou shalt not's. And somebody said, well, there's 10 commandments. No, there's a whole bunch of commandments. And the reality is we cannot keep the law. None of us can. There's not one. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, you know, there are some, you know, somebody says, well, you know, that's, everybody's just wicked, and, well, everybody's a sinner, the Bible says. Now, there are some people I'd rather be around than others because maybe their sin is more dangerous or something like that. But, you know, you can't change that. That's what the Bible says, and the law shows us that. But that's why Jesus died on the cross. He died to pay for our sins so we could be saved, so we could be forgiven, so that we can live for Him and love Him, and so we can choose to live like we're supposed to live, and we can have victory over the sin that is our flesh. And in Romans 7, though, I talked about this morning, I was going to entitle it When Paul Looked in the Mirror, but I didn't title it that because I've got, it's kind of a series, take at least 2 weeks and possibly three, but just talking about the flesh. Bible talks a lot about it, and so I call this the flesh part one. But literally, Paul does look into the mirror. He looks into the Word of God. He looks at the law. And when he looks at the law, we come to Romans 7, verses 14 to 25, that I remember the first time I read this as a new Christian, and I just did not understand it at all. And since then, I've studied it and read it and heard preaching on it, and I can't say I understand all of it, but I do have an understanding of why Paul is so frustrated. By the way, not only studying it and reading it, but living the Christian life, I do understand Paul's frustration. And it's as if Paul looks in the mirror of the Word of God, and he sees who he really is. And he says this in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me," notice the parentheses, "that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." He says, I know how to want to do good. I'm just having a hard time doing good. He said, I know what's right, and my desire is there to do right, but boy, I'm really having a hard time. And he's looking at himself. He says, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." He said, I'm frustrated. I'm trying to do right, and I know what is right, but I just don't always do what's right. "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." By the way, Paul here, he's not making an excuse. He's recognizing a truth. Now, I want you tonight and next Sunday night especially, I want us all to understand that he's recognizing something we need to recognize as well. Sin that dwelleth in me. And he says in verse 21, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." That means while I'm doing good, while I'm doing right things, there's still evil present with me. Wow. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law." Watch this now. "I see another law." He said, I love the law of God. He said, I delight in the law of God. All those thou shalt's and thou shalt not's. And he said, I love it. It is perfect. Remember, we talked about that this morning. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he really just looks in the mirror, I think, and he says this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, I'm not trying to discourage you tonight, all right? And we will end on a positive note. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh. The flesh, that part of us that is called the sin nature, the Adamic nature, the old nature. He says, with the flesh, the law of sin. And that flesh, it just is a constant battle. It should be for every Christian battling that old man, that old nature, that old flesh. It should be a battle. And I want to encourage you tonight to think about, as Paul obviously is finally, you know, he's assessing, and obviously God gives him the words here, but I think he really goes through this in his heart and his mind, that it is a battle. It is a battle that we will fight until we're in heaven. You know, one day we'll have a perfect body. We'll have a sinless body. We will not think sinful thoughts. We will not have that old flesh. But until then, it's got to be a battle. And it wars against. You say, I want to do right, but I turn around and do something wrong. I want to do God's will, and I turn around and I do my will, and it's wrong. I don't want to do wrong, and I do my best to avoid it, and then I do wrong. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. And so that key there, I believe, is talking about the flesh. Father, I pray that you'll bless now the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from your word tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And so Paul, in Romans 7, he's looking at himself. He's walked with God and spent enough time with God and read the word of God and knows the law of God to realize that that is truth. The law is truth. The word of God is truth. And again, I said this morning, that's why the world is out to destroy the word of God. The devil is out to do. When I say world, I mean the cosmos. That's the system that is against God. And the devil, of course, being the leader of that, is out to destroy the word of God, because it's that word of God that shows us the truth. A person won't be saved until they realize they need to be saved. You're here tonight and you're without Christ. You may not realize that you need Christ until you hear and see from the Word of God that you're a sinner, and you hear and see from the Word of God that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin, and you find out from the Word of God the truth that if you call upon Jesus, He will save you. And praise the Lord for that. Most of us here tonight have heard that, and I trust all of us have, and believe that, and have made that decision. But Paul looks at himself, and he sees the truth about himself. And again, the world, most of, you know, we'd rather not hear that. And I talked this morning about, I you know, it would have been great had a doctor never told me that I have glaucoma. But it would not have been great had a doctor known that I had glaucoma and not told me about glaucoma so I could be treated for my glaucoma. I'd just rather not have glaucoma. But I'm glad a doctor told me about it. I'll be honest with you, I'm glad that somebody, you know, when I was a teenager and preachers preached and evangelists talked to me and other teens that were saved told me I needed to get saved, I wasn't really happy with them. I didn't like hearing that I was on my way to hell. I didn't like hearing that I was a sinner. I didn't like hearing that my life was wrong. And people don't like to hear that. I mean, let's be honest, we don't like it. We like to kind of do our own thing. But it is the truth. And it is the truth that is something that man needs to know and man needs to find out so that he can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and he can be saved. I mean, there is a solution to this problem, and it is Calvary. It is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the result of growing as a Christian is to learn the Word of God, to grow closer to God, and the closer we get to God, the more we realize how sinful we are. I mean, those who are not close to God at all, they're offended when you talk about, you know, you're a sinner. I mean, they just don't get it. And folks that are not close to God, I go to Isaiah 6 and verse 1 real quick. Isaiah 6 and verse 1, and you've heard this verse before, this passage, but it so illustrates what I'm talking about. Isaiah 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me. When did he say that? He said that when he saw God. He said that when he saw God's holiness. He said that when he saw God's righteousness, God's purity, God's perfection. He said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When was it that Daniel went to God and he begged God to spare the nation, to heal the nation, to bring repentance upon the people? As he begged God, God, you see how we are. You see how I am. You see how these people are, God. Please, God, forgive us for our sin. But it's because he's walking with God. It's because he's praying. He's talking to God. It's because he knows the word of God. And as Isaiah here, he recognizes himself, as Paul recognizes himself here in Romans. You sit here tonight and you say, I'm a pretty good guy. Listen to me. That is not a good assessment that is going to help you to be what God wants you to be. You're going to have to recognize that, hey, listen to me, we're sinners. And God's a wonderful God. And God, by grace, saves our soul. And God forgives us. But it's a battle we've got to fight. And if we just kind of go along thinking everything's okay and we're okay and everything, we are deceiving ourselves. Notice James 1. I make reference to this often. James 1 and verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, like a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And the idea is looking in the mirror of the word of God and just seeing who we really are and what we really need to do. I mean, come on, let's be honest. The other day I was had gone home for something and came back. I was wearing my blue sport coat and I don't remember why. I think I went home for lunch, maybe to eat or something like that. And so I talked to a couple of people, fellowshipped, howdy, howdy. And then I went into the bathroom and I looked, and there's toothpaste all over my coat. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, I've got one of those power, you know, toothbrushes. And I mean, it is. It just goes wild. But while it's going wild, it's spraying everywhere. And I mean, I was in a hurry and I had to get moving, you know, and I'm looking out the window and watching and everything while I'm brushing my teeth and everything. And I mean, sure enough, and of course I said to several, why didn't you tell me? But, you know, oh, we don't want to hurt your feelings. Yeah, right. Just, you know, toothpaste dripping down the coat and everything. But I wouldn't have known that had I not looked in the mirror. I wouldn't have had any idea if I hadn't looked in the mirror. And you have to understand that when we look into the mirror of the Word of God, because it shows us the truth. It tells us the truth. In my mind, I wonder, had I said something to somebody, do I look okay? There's a lot of people would have said, oh, yeah, everything's fine. And there's toothpaste. And you know, it's not like it's a light coat like this. I might get away with it with this coat. Wait a minute, let me see. No, I think I'm all right. But I'm not going to get away with it with a dark coat. But there's some people they you know and you know it's interesting. That's how we think Christians ought to be. We think Christianity ought to be, well, you know, we don't want anybody to feel bad. Preacher, don't preach so hard. We don't want people's feelings to get hurt. Listen to me. If toothpaste is dripping down my coat, tell me. And you know what? If our life is messed up, we need to know. I want to please him. Do you want to please him tonight? Well, there's something in the way, and that is called flesh. It's a problem. And Paul here looks into the mirror of the Word of God, and he sees his flesh. And in the Bible, there's two kinds of flesh that's referred to. One is simply skin or creatures with flesh, and that's referred to several times. But the other kind of flesh that I'm talking about is our sinful nature. That old, before I got saved, me. That old nature. And by the way, flesh, the flesh, is one of our spiritual enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Very clear in Scripture, those are against us. That old flesh is against you getting up and singing for the Lord. Your flesh tries to keep you from it. The flesh tries to keep you from singing in the choir. Your flesh tries to keep you from playing an instrument in church. Your flesh tries to keep you from working on a bus route. Your flesh tries to keep you from being kind to one another. Your flesh is an enemy of the things of God. Therefore, it is an enemy of you and I. I want to please him. I want him to say to me, well done. But you know what always gets in the way? Oh, the world gets in the way. Yes, the devil fights, of course. But it's me. It's my flesh. And that flesh, I'm telling you, it is something Paul is so, it causes him to say in verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Tonight I'm going to give you one point of my outline because I don't have time to give you all the points. But one point tonight, and that is a description of the flesh. Description of the flesh. The Bible, which is truth, tells the truth about the flesh, just like a mirror. Okay, it doesn't hide anything. It doesn't tell us what we want to hear. That's why so many are trying to change the Bible to tell us what we want to hear rather than telling us the truth. If God's law is eternal, and if God's law is perfect, if his word cannot be changed, if God changes not, then it always is the same, and it doesn't really matter if man changes it or not. It's still the truth. And the truth is still what tells us, and it tells the truth about us, and it tells the truth about what needs it, just like a mirror tells the truth. I remember, years ago, a fellow in our church named Steve Kuhn, good guy, and he'd gotten saved in our church, him and his wife, and I'd baptized them. This was back in Indiana, and so this goes back into the 80s. And I was a young preacher, and I was starting to go bald, and Steve was about the same age, and he was going bald. And we used to kind of laugh about who was baldest. And at the same time, I had a staff member, and two staff members and I, and we were trying to discuss who was the fattest. And we had actually had the Battle of the Bulge one time. But that's a whole other story. But Steve and I are talking about who's the baldest. And I would give him a hard time. And I would tell my wife, I'd say, "Brent, he's balder than I am." And she would just say, And you know, just always, and I always thought, you know, she needs to rally around me. But I'm looking right at him, and he's bald. I mean, he was really losing his hair fast. Of course, being a pastor, you lose your hair real fast too. But anyway, finally, you know, I said, "Look at his head. I mean, this guy is almost bald, and I'm not that bad." And so Brenda, one day, she actually, this is another story, but she gave me a mirror and said, "You need to look." And so I took the mirror, and you know, if you look at a mirror in the mirror, you can see the back of your head. I was shocked. I said, "How'd Steve get in our mirror?" I couldn't believe it. Somebody else later on, I saw a picture, and a picture of the auditorium. I don't remember where this was. It might have been probably there. But I saw a picture of, and I said, "Who is that bald-headed guy?" And it was my back, and it was me. But see, that is the truth. And by the way, I was actually more bald than he was. But I could have gone on the rest of my life and figured he was worse off than I was. But the truth is, the mirror showed us. The mirror showed me. And I realized that, you know, when you're bald, you think it's there. I still do this all the time. Wind's blowing real hard, I still do this. There's no reason. But the mirror, it isn't that funny. The mirror tells us the truth. You have to understand, God's word, it is truth, and it tells you the truth. It doesn't tell us what we want to hear, it tells the truth. Notice what the Bible says about our flesh. It says in Romans 7, verse 5, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. See it? The flesh was putting in motion sin, and the motions of sin was bringing forth fruit unto death. Now, you don't believe that? Look at James 1, verse 14. By the way, here you can see, and I've preached on this before, James chapter 1 and verse 14. Here's the motion of sin. Watch it. James 1, 14. Oh, let's start at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his, what? Own lust. Now, my next point after description of the flesh, which we won't get to tonight, is the desire of the flesh. That's lust. You see it in Scripture, the lust of the flesh. It's a desire that our flesh has. It is a desire that is always going to get us in trouble. Always. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, don't you think that it's a good thing we have something that tells us that something's going to kill us or that death is going to happen? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Word of God. It tells me when death is going to happen and how to prevent death. Isn't that why we go to a doctor? Isn't that why we take a prescription? We haven't got the slightest idea what that doctor just wrote on there. We have no idea if he even signed it. We can't even tell anybody signed it. Amen. And we go to a pharmacist that we don't even know. Oh, he has a license. Yeah, so I know some people with licenses that scare me. Yeah, and we go to the pharmacist and we give him that piece of paper. We have no idea what it says. And then he gives us a bag and, well, he doesn't give it. We pay him. And we take that bag that we have no idea what was on that piece of paper. We have no idea what he said, what the other guy said, and what whoever ended up putting it in the little bottle. We don't even know them. When's the last time you went back to the little person who was scooping out the pills or pouring out the syrup or whatever it is and said, can I see your credentials? You don't ever do that. I don't either. Never. Don't even question them. You know what I do? I just look at whatever it says. Take two of these in the morning and two at night and do it until they're gone. Doesn't matter how big they are. You know, some of them can be huge. You force them down. And here we are. And why do we do that? Because we don't want to die. And yet God says the motions of sin caused by our flesh, those motions lead to something dying. There's death. Always. Sin always brings forth death. Notice what it says in Romans 7, verse 18 about our flesh. It says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. See it? No good thing. There's nothing about our flesh. And again, I'm not talking about your skin. You need it. It holds you together. Amen? Don't go home and say, I'm peeling off my... It'd be a tough day. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the old nature called the flesh. And notice what it says in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, notice what the law... It's the law of sin. By the way, the law of sin is when it's finished, it brings forth death. So my flesh always, everything my flesh wants me to do, it's going to bring forth death if I carry it out all the way. That's why we get in trouble. That's why Paul is so frustrated. Romans 8, verse 4, look what it says. Romans 8 and verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded, carnal and flesh. That's what it to be fleshly, to have a mind that is on fleshly things, death is imminent. It's going to happen. Something's going to die. And by the way, it's not always bodies that die. It's relationships die, marriages die, dreams die, vision dies. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Praise God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The flesh, the carnal mind, it's against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Why? Because the flesh can't obey the law. It is totally contrary. So verse 8 sums it up. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can't do it. Can't do it. So it sets the motions of sin, which leads to death. There's no good in the flesh. It is the law of sin, which ends in death. It is enmity against God. The flesh cannot please God. Go to Ephesians 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. By the way, that's you who have been saved. That's you who have trusted Jesus Christ, called upon him, asked for his forgiveness, and have been born again. He quickened. He gave you life because you were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's where we all come from. Following the course of this world, which is against God. Again, the word cosmos, world. Okay, following the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, in disobedience, our conversation, our lifestyle was that, and fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, and then becoming children of wrath, because that is all against God. And by nature, my life before Christ was against God. There isn't any walk in the line here. There isn't any, I'm sort of on God's side and I'm sort of not. There's none of that. There's either you're saved or you're not saved. I don't draw the line. God drew the line. That's all it is. And so when Paul is looking into the Word of God and he's walking with God and he's spending time with God and his life is centered around the things of God, Paul is recognizing what he really is. And it's a humbling, humbling thing to understand what our flesh is. And Galatians 5 gives us a very graphic description of our flesh. And it's not a pretty picture at all. Not at all. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." You say, you mean to tell me that I have this flesh that is no good, this flesh, this old nature that is constantly going to bring forth death and things dying, and it serves the law of sin, and it's against God, and it cannot please God, and all of this is what I am? It's what we are. That old nature. Now, it's not what you are if you're saved. It's what you, part of you, it is part of your life. It is the battle that you fight. It's why Paul said, "I want to do right, but I don't do right." It's why Paul said, "I don't want to sin, but I find myself sinning." It is the battle as Christians that we fight. It is the battle as we grow in the Lord that we recognize more and more that there's more and more that has to happen. That's why nobody arrives on this side. You and I are not going to, that's. Hey, look, you say, well, look at so-and-so, look at such-and-such. No, none of us have that right. There's nobody perfect in the room. But there's nobody perfect on this earth. There was one perfect, Jesus. He lived the perfect life so he could be the perfect substitute, so he could be the perfect sacrifice. But we're not. We're flesh. And here's the works of the flesh. Works means the result of. What is the result of our flesh? Well, he says they are manifest. And that's interesting. That means that whatever was hidden within is revealed outwardly. And so the outward show of what man is, these are the things that is that outward show. Now, not all these things are manifested in everybody. Not all of them are seen. But do not get this idea that that can't be you. Because it is the flesh. You say, well, I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery. I've never done any. I don't get into witchcraft or any of that. I believe with all my heart. That's why the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. Because it could be any person, any time, any of these things could manifest in our lives. It is manifest simply means to bring to light that which is hidden. And that which is hidden is what we are. See, sometimes we think we're better than other people because one person manifests because it's their flesh. They manifest adultery, while somebody else sitting in church manifests hatred. And somehow we think, hatred's not so bad. I mean, it's not as bad as adultery, and yet it's just as much of the flesh as adultery because it's in the same list. Man has a way of trying to get people to look the other way at their sins. And the truth is, we should be upset at both in our life. If you commit adultery, you should be upset at yourself. But if you hate people, you should be upset at yourself. Amen. Because it's equally flesh. It's equally wicked. But the key is this. All of these things are part of every body, every human being. God knows. He knows what our flesh is. And so when he gives this list, understand, it doesn't always manifest. It doesn't always show up in a person's life. It may never show up in your life, and praise God and hallelujah. That's what our job as we think about our life as a Christian. We should be pushing it away more and more as we grow closer to the Lord and getting victory. Because he goes on, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is the total opposite of these things. But just understand, there's nobody in this room that you say, well, that's not me, because that is you. I didn't say it, God said it. It is us. And that's why, the Word of God will show us the potential disaster that is in each of us. That's why we should be, we should have, yes, a fear of the Lord, but a fear of ourselves and what could happen to any one of us anytime. Why is it where we'll say, I just cannot believe that person did that? They're just such good people. Yeah. And they are, and they're doing good things, and I understand all that. But inside they just quit fighting, and they gave in to the flesh. I just wanted to go through the list real quick, and we're not going to spend a lot of time. But again, all of these things in this list are rooted in self. And that's why it's so important for us to understand this is self. And you say today, I have to battle selfishness. What you're saying is you're fighting the flesh. It is a desire. It is desires in our lives that are the thing that can destroy us so quickly. It's amazing. First thing in the list is adultery. Sexual activity among married people, not with their spouse. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 28, look at it real quick, Matthew 5 and verse 28. Again, this fleshly thing doesn't always manifest in a person's life. Matthew 5 and verse 28, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And that's happening all the time with the internet. It's happening all the time at the workplace. It's happening all the time when, some woman thinks she needs to dress a certain way to get a guy's attention. Do you understand? All you're doing is appealing to his flesh. Amen. That's it. I mean, if you're a Christian young lady and you want to marry a Christian young man, you should not be doing anything to get his flesh excited, but you should be doing a whole lot of things to get his spirit excited. Because you don't want to marry a fleshly, carnal person, because if they are flesh, this is them right here. And if they're giving in to all that, then that's how they end up. It amazes me. Women will marry some guy that just seems like a great guy, and yet she's attracted him in a certain way, and they've been involved in certain things, and they end up getting married, and he treats her like dirt. And she's like, "I just can't believe it." You weren't appealing to his spirit. You were appealing to his flesh. Same way the other way around, too. But I don't have time to get into all that. But again, adultery is a fleshly problem. And, Jesus said if a guy looks to lust, well, I think that if the shoe's on the other foot, if a woman's trying to get him to lust, she's got a problem too. But all that's flesh. It's flesh when you want a guy to lust after you. Do you understand that? You say, "I'm not going to do anything. I'm not planning to do anything," but that's your flesh. And you don't know that you won't do anything. You don't know because you don't understand your flesh. And you don't know that he won't do anything because you don't understand his flesh. And people flirt with words, with the way they dress, chat rooms, all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, you're playing with fire because of your flesh. Where's adultery? It comes from the flesh. Then the second word is fornication. By the way, those are two different words. Adultery is moikeia in the Greek. Fornication is pornea in the Greek. Fornication is premarital sexual activity. Most common is a young couple before they get married or outside of marriage. It also includes homosexuality and many other kinds of sexual sin. But again, it's flesh. That's why God says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Well, to avoid fornication. And by the way, he says to avoid fornication, get married. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. That's the only way to avoid it. Huh? And in fact, 1 Corinthians 6, 18 says to flee fornication. Why? Because it's of the flesh. Couples think that, we got to try this out first. This out first has really very little to do with the success of your marriage. I'll tell you what has a lot to do with the success of your marriage is your spirituality. Not your sexuality. Because all of that is the flesh. Now, sexual relationship is not wrong in marriage. In fact, it's wonderful. And Hebrews says it's fine. But outside. And outside the boundaries that God set, it's just your flesh. That's all it is. Brings us to the third word, that's uncleanness. And uncleanness is dirty jokes, dirty talk, dirty literature. In fact, it's most of the 8 o'clock on television programming. Just nasty talk, nasty songs, dirty movies, pornography, bestiality, incest, homosexuality, uncleanness. Oh, I think it's funny, but it's flesh. It is not funny, it's flesh. And the flesh is, we've already said, it is leads to something dying. You know, there's folks who, that's my next word actually. But this uncleanness, look at the next word, lasciviousness. It is a frame of mind. It's a frame of mind, and lasciviousness, again, deals with sexual issues, but it is someone who is so perverted from looking at it, talking about it, listening to it, whatever, their mind is completely out of control. And there are people, they cannot even look at the opposite sex without thinking wicked thoughts. And so they never look them in the eye. By the way, you know what comes from this? Rape, molestation, all kinds of abuse. But it's our flesh. You say, well, preacher, I don't, listen to me. I'm just telling you. You cannot mess around with anything that it's going to stir up your flesh. And by the way, you say, you know, I don't ever have thoughts like that. Then be careful on your internet. Be careful with movies and stuff that is going to stir up your flesh. Because I know tons of people who never had a problem with it. But once they started in it, they had a problem with it. Because it is, your flesh is hungry. And it wants to be fed. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, that's anything placed ahead of God. Anything. Money, sports, job, self. Witchcraft is occult practices. The word here is pharmakeia. That's where we get our word pharmacy. And it has to do with any, it's like hallucinogenic things or anything that puts you in a trance. The occult does that, by the way. The occult is very much into getting you in contact with demonic spirits. And drugs are like that too. Marijuana, LSD, hallucinogenic drugs, those kinds of things. Transcendental meditation, yoga, those kind of things. New age stuff. You know, open your mind up, folks. Open. Oh, the devil's always ready to fill it. That's the word witchcraft. By the way, we always just kind of think about witchcraft, you know, a pentagram on the floor and conjuring up spirits and all that. But it is more subtle than that today. It really is. And again, that's any, look, you say, preacher, I would never do that. But your flesh would. And you just open a door and your flesh is ready to go through. I'm telling you, because you get curious. I've told the story about the time we dealt with it, and I've dealt with several demon-possessed people, but this one was very intriguing because this demonic-possessed person told me something that nobody knew, and I became intrigued with that. Now, listen to me. That's just a little crack opening up a door, but it could have plunged me into stuff that would have changed my whole life forever. Thank God for God and for His Holy Spirit. And His protection and His warning and others that whoa, wait a minute now. We gotta slow this thing down. Because, you know, hey, we're just trying to help somebody. I don't want to get into all of that. Again, understand, it's our flesh. You know, it's Paul saying, I really want to do what's right, but I found myself doing wrong. You know, I really want to help somebody, but I ended up hurting them. That's because of the flesh. How about the seventh word, hatred? Hatred, that's hostility toward another. And again, you know, the first six are very obvious things, it seems, but now we get into subtle things that go on right here in Berean Baptist Church. They go on in your home. Hatred. 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Who do you hate tonight? Now you say, well, but I'm a good Christian. I've been saved a long time, but I just hate this. Listen to me. That is not of God. That is totally of your flesh. And your flesh has taken over. And you ought to be like Paul and say, oh, God, please don't let me live this way. And get on an altar and beg God to help you not to hate your brother. Because God says you're a murderer. And it is of the flesh. Here's another word, variance. Variance, an interesting word. And we don't typically know what it means, but it does mean contentious. Causing strife. Bible says we're not to sow discord among the brethren. Variance. You say, well, I've never committed adultery. Have you ever sown discord among the brethren? Because that's just as fleshly as adultery. It's just as fleshly as molestation. Well, I understand you probably won't go to jail for sowing discord among the brethren, but God holds you just as accountable as He does somebody that's a molester. It's somebody who's critical, somebody who gossips. It's just causing strife among the brethren by being contentious. That's variance. It's putting one against another. Emulations, what's that? That's envy, jealousy, and bitterness. So that's where we live, right? Yeah, it is. Envy, jealous, bitterness, emulations. Wrath is anger that is boiling over. It's losing our temper. That's of the flesh. You know, somebody just kind of laughs. Yeah, you know, I blow up every now and then. It's not funny. Because that is your flesh. That's your flesh just as much as murder. By the way, murder is the next step. That's why God says when you hate, you're a murderer. Strife, that's picking fights. That's having a... You know people that are just nasty? I'm thinking of somebody right now. Just nasty. Just nasty. Picking fights all the time. You say, well, I'm against this and I'm against that. But you're not against strife because you're always picking fights. See? You know, and again, we can be so blind to this, but God says, this is, you know, God, Paul says, this is what I see. This is the flesh right here. Strife. Seditions. What's that? It's like treason. It's like causing division or disloyalty. It's to separate someone from their authority. It's what a teenager might do, saying, don't listen to your parents. Don't listen to your teacher. Or it's like a foolish, seditious adult might say, don't listen to the pastor. You say, well, that's not as bad as adultery. God says it is. God says it is of the flesh just as much. Here's an interesting word, heresies. Heresies, it has the idea of a stubborn holding on to error. It's arguing with Bible truth, whether you do it with other people or whether you do it yourself. It's explaining away Scripture to defend or proclaim your own point. Heresies. That's where we get the idea of cults and different heresies and that. But it's this stubborn holding on to error. You can't show them from the Bible. That is of the flesh. Envyings. Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Well, that girl's prettier than me, and I'm just so sick of it. And God says, thou shalt not. You know, that is of your flesh. That you're so tore up about that, you know. Oh, that guy, he's bigger than me and stronger than me, and who cares? But you see, your flesh, you have to be careful. We have to be careful. Murders, that's one step from hatred. That's carrying it out, actually physically carrying it out. Drunkenness is intoxication to you know, alcohol, drugs, whatever. It's losing control. That's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And then revelings. That's the party mentality. Certainly we see that today in our world. Sad to say, though, that flesh, that's part of us. You know? Don't open the door just a little bit. Don't open the door just a little bit. Notice what it says about that. And as you go through the list, and I've gone very quickly through it, revelings and such like of the which I tell you before, verse 21, I have also told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I think there's two things to think about in this verse, and I'm just about done here. Obviously, these are the actions of a lost person. Sure seems like it, doesn't it? Doesn't seem like Christians would do these things. They seem like the actions of a lost person. And no doubt, lost people do these kinds of things, but they don't necessarily do all these things because they're fleshly just like we are. But I think the key word here is the word inherit. They which do such things shall not inherit. I think you're going to miss out on some things as a Christian. I think we're going to miss out on some inheritance as a Christian. And we just read this, but I want to go there. 1 Corinthians 3. And verse 11, and some of the things we don't think a lot about, and we should. For other foundation, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. Now, I think gold, silver, precious stones are non-fleshly works that we do. But wood, hay, and stubble, that's when we're in the flesh. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And we know this. The fire will destroy the wood, hay, and the stubble. I would hate to think that most of my life would get burned up on that day. I'm talking about my life, whatever I did. I'd hate to think that it would just all get burned up. Because the Bible says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. But you understand, those rewards that we receive, we cast them at the feet of Jesus Christ, and we thank him. And I think we sell short the idea that, at least I'm going to heaven. That's the flesh. Because the flesh is selfish. The flesh is so selfish. What we should be saying is, I want to bring glory to God. So what do we do? Well, this is just a description, but I'm not going to leave us. Romans 6. And I'm not going to leave on a negative note. Romans 6 and verse 12 is just one of the passages that we'll talk about later. But it says, let not sin therefore reign. Notice it doesn't say, let not sin stay. Truth is, you have nothing to do with that. Because your flesh is there. Till Jesus comes and takes us, till we die, we get a new body, it's just there. But he does say this, he says, let it not reign. R-E-I-G-N. That means don't let it be the king. Don't let it control your life. It's a battle. When we talk about the desire of the flesh next week, you'll it's so clear. The hardest thing about it is we like our flesh. We like what it likes. It is our desire. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. By the way, a lust isn't a lust unless you're lusting. You ought to write that down. That's a good quote. You know, God calls it. He says it is a desire that you have, but don't obey it. Do not obey that desire to hate. Do not obey that desire to have contention. Do not obey that desire to commit adultery. Do not obey that desire to be a fornicator. Do not obey. He says, you decide. And do not let it control your life. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's every day. God, I yield my body to you. Here's my life. I give it to you. I yield it to you. I die to my flesh. I want nothing to do with my flesh. But you say that knowing that somewhere along the line during the day, your flesh is going to be tempted. But God, I yield to you. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You see it? Sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. And folks, honestly, the victory can be ours. But I'm telling you where it always starts. It starts with whether we want it or not. This list in Galatians, and I've gone through it over and over and over, and I've looked in the mirror of the Word of God and I know it's all there. And we've got to decide who's going to run us, our flesh or the Spirit of God. You find yourself during the invitation saying no, 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 then what you're saying is, flesh, you win. You find yourself as you read your Bible and God says you need to do this, you need to make this decision, you say, well, no, I'm not going to do that, then you're saying, I'm going to let the flesh win. That's why it's so bad to quench the Holy Spirit. And it's so bad to grieve the Holy Spirit. By the way, he's on our side. These sins, all these things that are listed in Galatians, none of those end up good. They end up bad.